morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. And again, it's another Meet the Candidate. And this candidate is well known. Her name is Kathy Yan. I was trying to figure out now, because she took a little hiatus from the school committee, should I ask the questions for seeking re-election or should I ask the questions for first-term candidate? I made the command decision to ask the question seeking re-election, because you're only out of the game for a couple of terms. So,
yeah, it's 4 years, two terms.
Two terms. That's a couple. Mm-hmm. So, anyhow, I do want to thank you for really and truly throwing your hat back in the ring. You're very experienced. And I have to say this, folks. This lady got me to go to Shakespeare and Company plays in Lenox, because she told me once that Shakespeare was never meant to be read. It was meant to be acted. And so consequently, I went to see one because I had acted it out in high school and junior high. And I would have rather gone back to Vietnam than have to go through it again. But but once I went and saw it acted by professionals, it was an entirely different experience.
Sure. Yeah, but the English department swords. We had a group of swords. We all of them were doing Shakespeare, bring them down to the classroom, because you get the kids right out of their seats. And they love it.
Yeah. So listen, I have a question. First of all, tell people who you are, because there's a lot of new people now.
Yeah. No, my name is Catherine Yan. Kathy Yan, if you like. I was on the school committee for 12 years, 8 of which I served as chair. I loved my work there, but I thought it was time to take a hiatus or retirement. I thought I actually retired. But anyway, come to find out, I guess I didn't really retire, but it was 4 years. It's been 4 years since I've been on. But yet a lot has gone on in those 4 years, for sure. And that's why I'm really excited about running this year, because we have all kinds of exciting innovations in the school department. We're going to have a new school, we hope.
Yeah.
Crosby Elementary School, out in that beautiful piece of land on West Street. Then we have the restructuring of the middle schools. That's going on. And it seems as if we have a blank slate there, although they were looking at curriculum. Now, I'm not sure exactly, again, because I am sort of a new candidate, how much has been done on this and so on. But they were looking at, I'm pretty sure they've got most of this curriculum, well, some of the curriculum decided. And what it is for the middle schoolers, it seems to be more of a hands-on kind of experience. I know when they're looking at the schools, and again, I just did a lot of reading on what was going on. When they were selecting the schools, they took a look at Herberg and Reed. Apparently Herberg is the smaller of the two, but it seems to have more, some were saying on the committee that it does have more access to the vocational kinds of work. So it's more, well, it can lend itself better to that, the mm-hmm. vocational piece, which it's kind of amazing. This morning on one of the news shows that I was watching, Randy Weingarten, the president of the union of the teachers, came on and she was talking about project-based learning. That has been something that I've heard on and off again, it seems, in education for a long time. But when you think about it, for some of these kids, it really is the only way to go. They need something hands-on.
Yeah.
You know, I was always saying in my last, some of my time on the school committee, the last time, I was saying things such as, gee, can we, you know, bring some of that down to the middle schools? Some of that kind of, you know, whether it's welding, well, I'm not pretty good at welding, but anyway, carpentry, that's, you know, just get them interested there. You know, and then the discipline piece would go along with it, because you have to have, you know, you had a good discipline record to get into Taconic and so on. So I think a really valuable piece there. But anyway, so looking at the curriculum and the books and everything, the book said, would actually tell you on the right-hand side of the bottom of the page or something like that, this would be a skill you would need if you were going to go into whatever it might be, you know, carpentry. If you were wanting to build houses, this is what you have to do. You have to take this class and so on. So you're seeing that these new books obviously do something that every student's always wanted to know. What are we doing this for? What do we need this for? Yeah, so anyway.
But I have to say this, not to interrupt you, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's a rehash of the junior high. In its own way, because we had shop in junior
Oh,
high,
yeah, we did. The
right?
old,
And I'm especially now, even because then when I was in school, the big push was you got to go to college, you got to go to college. Now the big push is either go to college or get a trade.
Oh, yeah, and the going to college has become so expensive.
That's right.
Now you save yourself a lot of money and loans and so on. So I think we are, I mean, we have evolved a great deal, in our thinking about education because our students have evolved in different ways. There's another thing I was looking at, talking about boys, the alienation of these young boys who are committing these horrible crimes.
Yes, they are.
And they're talking about the loneliness, the picture of, the student in the parents' basement on the computer.
Yeah.
And they don't feel as if they need any association, I think, with people. Normal, normal socialization with people, I should say. So anyway, the same thing it says, they were saying that the boys don't mature. They're at least 18 months behind the girls. That 25-year-old point when the cortex begins its or completes its full developments
Wow.
and ready, which is decision making and all of that. That's what we do
Right,
then.
right.
So anyway, so that's happening as well. I said, oh my goodness, are we heading to the place where we want to take the boys for a little bit and do a little something different with the boys? And then to the girls, but that is, I don't know, that's probably way out in the future. But all these things are happening. As you say, we were sort of rehashing the junior high. Things sort of went around. But the whole point of the junior high in the middle school at that time, because I was there at that time in this classroom, they were saying that we really have to put emphasis on the student, the individual student, rather than, okay, this is a junior high school. Oh, you're going to have a prom, you're going to have a junior prom and a senior prom, you're going to have a dance of it. No. That was not what it was meant to be. It was meant to be the focus on this adolescent person who's just coming in summer, just coming into adolescence. So they're
Right.
not, oh my goodness, you want to. Well, it wasn't that bad, really, but it could be a little bit crazy to the point where John Reed said, when all of us, there were several of us going up to Pittsfield High when this happened, the restructuring. And he said, oh yeah, that's where they get their paychecks, gift wrapped. Not really true, but anyway, so yeah, but that is a rehash kind of, but no, we have to do that. We have to bring them down to that level where there are hands-on. There's got to be a lot of hands-on. So we shall see what that brings. And again, I haven't seen everything, but I know that's down there.
What do you think the biggest challenges that the school committee is facing over the next two, the schools and the school committee will be addressing over the next 2 years?
Well, I will tell you one of the major things that's going to have to be school choice. It's going to have to be school choice because what I'm looking at right now, this is what I think I'm seeing. I think morale is quite low. If morale is low, why is it low? Maybe because there's a negative view of the Pittsfield Public Schools out there. That's another one of the major reasons that I wanted to run, Bill,
Yeah.
really, because I wanted to see. Oh my, can one person do anything? No, but if I could be part of that foundation that can put together something that we can certainly all be proud of, or there's so many things that we can be proud of right now, and
That's
we
right.
can, yes, and we can put them in the foreground. We do. I know it sounds a lot like cheerleading, and maybe it is in one way, but it's important. They had maybe did a presentation of the portrait of a graduate that Berkshire 12 is.
Yeah.
Then that nearly got a standing ovation at the school committee that night when we were watching. Unbelievable what's
Yeah.
going on. People don't know. People don't know. And that is so important to know what's going on. And I would tell you something else. I would recommend this to anybody. Whenever you want to, you think you don't want to come to our school system, before you make that decision final, take a look at a classroom. The teachers, I'm sure, would be delighted to have you in. Do spend a half a day, spend a couple of hours. Unbelievable. I've always seen teachers and come back with students and they're quite surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think too, and part of it is no school system is without its challenges.
Oh my goodness.
In today's day and age, probably more so than ever before, for a lot of sociological problems that we don't want to get into,
Right.
or we don't have the time to get into. But the point is, Your background, first, and I think for new people watching that may not know Kathy Yan, she was a teacher in advanced placement. Just give us a little bit of your background for new
Yeah.
people and
Well,
new teachers.
I actually taught all levels. I always get the honors level, the intensive level, and you always had, a class of other students who needed more attention. So I always taught one of those, but I also did something else. After I retired, I worked for Project Reconnect, which
Yes.
dealt with the underserved population. And I will tell you, we probably operated with Nancy Wachowski, Tom Dillon, and I. I'm sure some people know those Tom and Nancy's names. There was three people. Sometimes it was three people on one client.
Yeah.
These are people who are so disconnected, literally, from society. So I do have a varied background, and
Oh.
I'm also on the Youth Council of Berkshire Works, where we do all kinds of work with adolescents and trying to find them jobs and so on, and counseling. It's always been that type of thing as well. So yeah, so I guess I was just feeling so disconnected and helpless, then I'm hearing all the news, because you talk about all schools have challenges. I think all of ours came at once,
Yeah.
sort of inundated. So anyway, we do have to work on that. And I noticed that Mr., I believe, Berger came to a school committee meeting, the last one, maybe the one before, and he talked about getting the staff up to date on what the people, the new people, the old people, the ones who have been on, have not been on for their licensure.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, so he might have said, "Can you present how many?" He said to the prince, the superintendent, "Can you present to us how many need certification? How many need this? How many need that?" And she did. She just came to the school committee meetings and presented all of that. But you know what else I found interesting? Because we are losing staff, there's that morale problem again.
Yeah.
And like I said, the probably the morale goes for so many things. That's why I'm looking at that first. But anyway, the morale is low. The students are low. Everyone is low. How he said, the students know you walk in that classroom whether or not you want to be there. But anyway, so when you think about all those things, Emory Carpenter, who was the personnel, no, she is the personnel director now.
Right.
She said she was planning to meet every one of those teachers who didn't have. There's, make sure everything is going all right. You didn't have the certification. Emory is wonderful. Again, one-on-one conversations,
Right.
talk to people. That's what's,
Yeah.
that's what's so lacking. So I was thrilled when I heard that. I was really, so maybe those things that they can incorporate can start to, little at a time, little at a time. Because I know people are just saying, "I wouldn't go to Pittsburgh public schools." Sure you would. Go
Yeah.
there and spend a day. It's not really scary, but anyway,
But Anne Marie Carpenter, she prior to that was director of special ed. What did she?
she was the not special ed. She wasn't the director of special ed, I don't think. She had so many di different job
Right.
titles. The psychologist and psychiatrist, she was the head of all the
Yeah.
psychologists, psychiatrists, and all that.
School adjustment kind of stuff.
Truly, I don't remember what the titles were, but we've got all these teams now. Emory
Right.
Superintendent has all these teams that she's putting together. And that's the way, I guess, looking through her interview, that's what she stated, that she wanted to get some teams together. So she has. But I was looking at some of those titles. Whoa, they're
Wow.
quite lengthy and seem like an awful lot of work, particularly for I was looking at Tammy Gage. But anyway,
Tammy.
well, Tammy Gage used to be just the vocational. Now she's got about three other things added on.
Well, it's
But we'll
life
see how
learning.
it goes.
It's
Yeah.
vocational. It's all these pathways in what she's done. But I want to just go back to Anne Marie Carpenter for a moment. I have the utmost respect for her and what she has done and what she is doing. And I will say that openly. I like I said, I think she's a gift and a blessing to the school system, as you were.
Well, thank you very much. Emery was one of my students.
Well, I would
Yeah.
have been, but I was at the level that made the top half look good.
No, that was always very rewarding about seeing
You,
your. Yeah.
yeah, but well, as you face all the challenges that are going to be coming, We don't even know for what budgets we're going to have.
I know, I know. Ah, boy. Well, we struggled last year, apparently. Now, this year, I don't know what's going to happen either, Bill, but we have to make our priorities.
Right.
And what is a priority for us? And we have a greet, meet and greet at the senior center coming up. You know, so seniors might be saying, wait a minute, I don't have any kids in school anymore. I don't have any grandchildren in school anymore.
Right.
That's what they might be saying.
But you have
So,
taxes you're paying. That's what I tell them. Every time somebody tells me that, I say, I know, but they don't discount your taxes.
no, they don't. Anyway, so what you have to do now is say, well, what does the educational system do for me? And in that sense, if these kids weren't getting educated and they didn't come out of there with a trade, where are they going to be?
That's right.
Out on the streets.
Yeah.
Out on the streets. So it is so important to find a niche for every student. And that's what we do so well. That's what we really do so well. This morning's paper, was this morning, had this article about the Eagle Academy, the Eagle Educational
Yeah.
Academy. And there they were. And who was there? Becky Ringer was there. Becky's from the Adult Learning Center. She was trying to recruit not just the kids, but guess who? Their parents.
Yeah.
You know, these kids might not know which way to go because they really haven't had a lot of people who were successful in the educational realm. I mean, that doesn't just
Yeah.
mean they weren't successful. So here's a way of picking up something else. And boy, that's one of the best graduations you'll ever go to, the Adult Learning Center. Yeah.
Not
So
to
I'm in
take
there
your
because all these tentacles out there trying to grab this place, that place, you know, and get somebody in the place where they can be successful.
As you know, I ran the Violent Youthful Offender Program, and I will tell you, you're exactly 100% correct. And what they happens, kind of an evolution of when you start to fail in school because you can't read or because of this. And your parents don't care because they didn't do well in school.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of message they deliver. I didn't do well, so you're not going to do well. Instead of saying, you can do better than I did. So
Yeah.
what they're doing with these, what you're trying to do, and I think the system is doing it through vocational and other means, is that getting these kids an education is not easy.
No, it's not easy at all. I've always believed in small class size. I really think the smaller the class size, the better. You know, even this that we're trying to do with Anne Marie going to these adult teachers and giving them some one-on-one support with a conversation makes such a difference with the kids as well.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I would even think to myself, oh my goodness, sometimes, and I might not believe this, Bill, but I can get going. You know what I mean? And I'm doing this on the board and that on the board. And they go, whoa, whoa, I better slow down. You know, take a check.
Yeah.
Is anybody with me? That sort of thing. And sometimes just a pat on the back when they're walking out of the door. Nice job. Means like so much. And sometimes you forget about it.
That's
You know?
exactly right.
See, I once had the idea that after you've taught for like 30 years, then maybe you should only teach part-time 3 classes, spend the rest of your time mentoring new teachers.
Oh, that's
You know?
not a bad
I
idea.
thought it was a bad idea, but I don't know how much it will cost. I mean, you know, because I would love to do that. You know, just to sit down and, you know, okay, what's going on? You know, come into the classroom, help it. But the toughest part can be classroom management. You know, a new teacher. That could probably be one of the toughest things. I really understand that. So, anyway, have we touched everything?
We
Maybe
again,
definitely have.
what have you found to be the most rewarding part of being an elected official to the school committee?
First of all, what I do say, we're writing all these statements and everything. You know, I was born and bred in Pittsfield. I went to Hibbert School. I went to South Junior High and I went to Pittsfield High. When I was listening to some of those reports that were coming in Christmas time and following, I was devastated. You almost felt like you were taking it personally. You know, Bill, you were taking it personally. So I will switch that around and say, to represent the Pittsfield Public Schools, let's say maybe at graduation or whatever, because that's what comes with this job. It's one of the proudest moments of
Wow.
my life. When you go to the awards ceremonies, and you've had this one, and because I taught the underclassmen, I taught 9th and 10th. When you see them sitting on the stage, and the scholarships are announced, or the welder of the year, Bill, the girl who read her
Yeah.
name. Yeah, you know what I mean? That gives you such hope,
Yes.
you know, and you just have to be hopeful, or you might as well just, you know, give it up now. I was a teacher who was very strict, very strict. They never knew that that behind that veneer, boy, I could melt. But anyway, no, I said. So anyway, Bill.
But this hasn't teaching changed. I don't know if it's teaching the change. I think teaching is pretty much the same. It's how the kiddos come into the school, how they're prepared. I think back on our mutual friend Joe Fox
Nice.
and a story he said about a girl many years ago coming with a bare midriff. Well, you know, that back in those days, that was verstunkensy, you know, no way. And so called the mother to come, and the mother came after she got up and brought and the girl kept saying, "You need to send me home. You need to send me home." And Joe said, "No, that's what you want. I'm gonna." And the mother brought a sweatshirt and the girl got to stay.
All
But
right.
I don't think teaching has changed. I think society has changed, not all for the better.
Well, Bill, I don't know. I might not agree. I think the teaching is changing and how you're actually teaching. I mean, the computer is there, you know, that is certainly right there. But no, teaching has changed and the students have changed. That's what makes it so difficult. We have to, like I said, even that talking about the boys as being so different from the girls and the alienation they feel seems like almost whoa, separate them out. But we don't know really about that quite yet. But the teaching with the use of the computer, with the people, these
Everything.
principles of teaching and learning, you've got some resources there. So you've got to use them. You know? I'm delighted that MCAS is not the be all and end all anymore. So that really is a help, I think. But it is difficult. It really is difficult. And we just settled a contract. I don't know what all the articles were, but how they changed it, the contract. But we did something when I was still there about changing a little bit the formula, what is weighted. We changed around to get the columns and all that with the negotiations so that they would start a little higher and so on, because you really want to pay your teachers. And it's just so difficult right in this economy. Yes, it is. But you can't just get up there and say, well, I'm on the student council and I just think, well, $150, 50,000 is good. Let's just cut them by that. No, you can't do that. Justify it. And so we have to fight a little bit for our budget, I think.
Well, I think I wish you the very best of luck. I thank you again for running. You've got about 3 minutes, 4 minutes to tell the people why they should vote for Kathy Yan.
Well, they should vote for Kathy Ann because she is so dedicated and so passionate. As a matter of fact, when I left my one of my last days, the kids wrote me notes, and that was what one of them said to me. She said to her, I always loved the way you taught with such passion. And so that really made me feel good. So I still have that same passion. It is directed in sort of another way. I would appreciate your vote because I also believe I am honest, trustworthy. I believe in civil discourse. I believe in civility. I do understand some of the rancor and bitterness that turns up when you don't believe you're being heard or listened to. But there is no place for that in discussion in the schools. I remember it was Jake McCanless once who said, you know, whatever happened to the idea that years ago you'd walk into the school? Well, it was almost a sacred place.
Right, yeah.
You had the halls, you know, those ivied walls of Pittsfield High, all of that. Well, I thank you very much. If you're thinking of voting for me and have any questions, my phone number is 329-3275. That's my cell. That is a 413 number. The home phone, you're much better off to use the cell, I would say. Forget the home phone and my email, klyan1105 at AOL. Yes, I still use AOL.com. Oh, and I will not probably have a Facebook site because I do not know how to use Facebook or anything like that. So if it really seems necessary, my husband will could put out something that says, please vote for Kath.
I do want to again. I know I've said this at every interview, but these midterm elections don't get a lot of turnout, and that's a shame. Because as I said over and over and over, these midterm elections influence us much more than the grandiose elections, because it's city council. It's school committee. Now think about that. City council, ordinance and rules, budgets, tax rates, blah, blah, blah. Schools, open, closed, curriculum, superintendents. I get very frustrated when these margins are so low, the turnout is so low.
Oh, yeah.
And
Anything
I,
can happen too.
yeah. And people like yourself and all the people that are running, I thank every single one of them. In today's day and age, throwing your hat in the ring to run for public office, that you should get a medal, really. But I have this motto, this saying, and it offends some people, but it's true. If you don't vote, don't gripe. You
Absolutely.
had a chance to put your person in or take that person out or vote for this thing or vote for that thing. And it's very important to me that you vote. And I say this, and I've said it before. When you drive to a cemetery and you see all those American flags, underneath there, somebody's laying that forever. But they, at one point in their life, put their life on the line so that you could vote.
Absolutely.
And not doing that is an insult to them and to all of us, because God only knows, Michelle, Benjamin, and the whole team up there, Heather, and everybody, they have made voting so accessible within the city of Pittsfield. You can do it at City Hall. You can mail it. You have to partake in this, especially this election, because we got a big new city council coming. We got a big new school committee. Only I think only one person is going to be there from before. And I know I know I'm going off, but I'm so frustrated. So I want people to vote. And again, Kathy, thank you for throwing your hat back in the ring.
Well, like I said, Bill, sometimes I have to just slow down because I get so impassioned about it this
Right.
time because I don't think that we deserve such a bad rap and I
Oh,
don't
I
think
don't
it should be
either.
running from us, you know.
Listen, I don't either, but sometimes bringing people in or new people or bringing back older people with experience helps retool. And that's what I'm going to say, retool the organization. Kathy, thank you very much again for running. Good luck to you. And tell David he did a nice job with the machine.
With technology. Yeah, I'm not fooling you. I
Oh,
didn't
listen, if I didn't have the guys over on Federico Drive, this wouldn't be taking place. Trust me when I tell you.
it. Thank you, Bill, as
Bye
always.
bye. Thank you. Best of luck. Thanks for
Thank
running.
you.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM. Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
The Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention recognizes that everyone has a role at saving lives. Through ongoing discussion and education, we may be able to recognize the warning signs and understand how to confidently address the subject of suicide in order to save lives. It takes just one person to offer hope and save a life. Contact the Berkshire Coalition for Suicide Prevention at berkshirecoalition.org for more information.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. As you know, we are trying our best to spotlight all of the candidates so that you get to know them on a more personal level. And today I'm honored and privileged to have with me someone I've known for a very long time. And let me rephrase that, a very long time. His name is Anthony Tony Mafuccio.
How you doing?
He's a North End boy, and so that's all you need to know. I just want to say this again. This election, these elections like this directly affect us because it's a city council and the school committee, two of the biggest things we have in this city that affect us in our way of life. So if you don't vote, don't gripe. But please, please, if it's 15 minutes out of your day, that's an exaggeration. Please vote. The polling polls are all places are all over. You can vote at City Hall even up till the election. So go there now if you can't make it. Go and cast your vote right at City Hall. But please do it. Now I'm going to start the clock for Tony. How are you, Tony?
How you doing, Bill? I'm doing great.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. It's a nice beard you got.
Thank you.
Yeah, if you comb it up, you can comb it over.
That's my goal in the end, maybe, huh? Get myself a toupee out of it.
Well, I tell people save your clippings from your haircuts because next winter I'm weaving a wig. So, Tony, I have to ask you this: why are you running for re-election? God, you know what it is. I mean, you've been in the fray.
You know what, Bill? I miss serving my community. I miss serving the people of Ward 7. And, you know, life has kind of been too quiet. I'm used to people calling and me being able to help somebody all the time, not just in my personal life, but having something professional life and doing that.
Well, you've got a lot of experience, that's for sure. These are tumultuous, would it be safe to say tumultuous times? Housing and all that. We'll get to all of that. But, well, I say this to every person that's been on. I want to thank you for running because the system doesn't work if people don't run. And, you know, we've had some really sparse years of people throwing their hat in the ring. And now it's a great turnout. I'm just so pleased that so many people have taken on the mantle of running for public office. So I thank all of you. Tony, I thank you, and I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, Bill.
Let's get right to the meat and potatoes. What do you feel or do you believe are the biggest challenges facing the city over the next 2 years?
Over the next one, I'm going to say that, you know, costs increase every year. Budgets go up, trying to keep the tax rate low like they did this past time. that's something that we have to continue working on and make sure that's there. And then, you know, I really haven't kept up on much other stuff except for some of the happenings around spots here and there, but just making sure that Ward 7 gets their fair share of what belongs to us in infrastructure or anything else.
Well, as you probably know, housing is a huge, homeless and housing have been huge topics of discussion amongst the council, the mayor, and the citizens.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, and what's your thought on that?
Well, you know, there's just, you're stuck between the cats, a hard place on a rock. I mean, you don't want homeless people wandering your downtown during the daytime. We need to make sure that our downtown stays appealing and thriving to people who live here and our tourists that come in here every year. Because if Pittsfield doesn't look good and we don't show a face of good image, then we're not going to have people visiting us like we used to. What else did I want to touch on? There was something else. What was the question again, Bill? I'm sorry.
About the homeless.
The homeless, the housing.
Housing's
always been an issue in the city.
Yeah.
It was an issue back when I was there, and it's still an issue, especially affordable housing, too. There's not a lot of that around, but, you know, with the White Terrace project there coming to fruition soon, and other housing projects that have opened and they're fruitatious now.
Yeah.
And the Zion's Lutheran Church and the resources they're going to bring there.
Yeah.
I think the city's going in the right direction.
I think the city and the everybody's trying, but there's financial issues, there's mental health issues, there's addiction issues. There's all these things, and there's all a shortage of everything: money, counselors. I've watched all those meetings. I felt badly for some of the counselors. I think some of the people that were on the, what do I want to say, the open mic were, I would say, in some cases, disrespectful to the mayor and the council. They can't wave a wand and take a problem that's been all these years in the making.
Right.
You know?
But very true.
Should you get reelected, you'll be at the receiving end. But as I tell new people, Tony, and you know this, if you're running for public office, you have to develop the skin of an armadillo. Because if you're thin-skinned, you won't last.
No, politics ain't for you.
Another question I have, and I've been asking a lot of prior counselors and some candidates, what's your take on civil service? Should the police and fire stay in civil service? It's very costly.
It is very costly, but civil service has been in place for so many years. And the candidates we get and the qualifications, you know, I'm torn between the cost and the benefits that would be lost for the police and fire.
But we have unions now.
Correct.
And when I was on, they didn't have unions. We had an association. Now you can have a full-blown union that negotiates and all that. When I think civil service has not kept, in my opinion, hasn't kept up with time and space. It shouldn't take as long as it does to replace an officer or a firefighter.
No, that's very true. But like I said, having civil service in place reduces the size of candidates, the pool that you can pull from, because there's a list you have to go off of.
Right. But they have to make that list. You have to wait till they come up with a test. And from my understanding, the tests aren't like they used to be.
They were scarce when I was in office.
Yes, they were.
Many moons ago, and I'm sure nothing's changed.
And I say this again, I've said it before on air, for the, my heart goes out to the chiefs and the department heads who get raked over the coals because of their overtime budgets. But what they don't understand, you have to have so many cops on the street for safety reasons. You have to have so many firefighters for safety reasons. When you have to, when you're short, you have to overtime. And I can tell you, as a person who went through mandatory overtime, it's awful. It's nice in the beginning, but boy, after a while, it gets old. You're not with your family. You're tired. There's a lot.
Right. These individuals spend a lot of time protecting us.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, we have to be sympathetic to their needs also.
Yeah, absolutely. If reelected, how do you think you're going to look at the address, the housing area, the civil service area, the infrastructure stuff, bringing business back into the city?
Well, it's that thing about making Pittsfield attractive again. I mean, making, as the mayor calls it, one Pittsfield.
Yeah.
Making one Pittsfield stronger. I mean, we did it back in 2004 when Jimmy Roberto and that council came on, and we brought the arts and the entertainment to this community.
Yes. Yeah.
And
I remember that.
Yeah, maybe it's time to start thinking outside the box again, and seeing if there's something in Pittsfield that we need to start changing again to attract more people to come here.
And having whatever that may be accessible to them, and that to me is another big issue, accessibility. We have to do something with the homeless, and we have to do something with the downtown. And, you know, some merchants are saying they're going to leave North Street if it, you know, continues in the vein that it's going. And I don't see a lot of people running to fill those vacancies. You know, I watched, I think it was somebody on the city council. It was somebody on the city asking for a breakdown of all the empty buildings and how long and all that stuff. The point is, what are we going to do to fill those buildings? We know they're there.
We had problems back in the past filling those vacant buildings. We did it. We brought it up, and then issues developed and scared people away. And, you know, I think it's a big picture of everything in general, not only the homeless and the merchants. I mean, I like the traffic flow up there, but is that the right traffic for on North Street? We were doing better when we had, I know nobody wants to hear this, but our old traffic pattern. We were attracting more people to the downtown. You had less stragglers around the downtown. So have we shot ourselves in the foot?
Well, that's a good question. Has anybody done an analysis of how this new traffic pattern is working? Tony, this is a pet peeve of mine, and I'll ask you. We hear all the time Pittsfield and Berkshire County and Massachusetts is an aging community. And my thinking is, what are you going to do to address that aging community? You know, a while back, before Mayor Marchetti, a few years back, now maybe you might have been on the council when it happened, they started taking handicapped parking spaces off North Street and putting them on the side streets in the parking lot. Well, why do you think they're handicapped? Who's going to walk from the parking lot to the Miller Building to go to see their dentist?
Right. I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. So I guess my thinking is, if we are, and we are, I mean, I'm an old man and I have disabilities. So I think one of the things, and I don't want to add to the load of the council, But one of the things is, what are we doing to address our aging population?
And well, that's something we have to take a look at.
Yeah.
That's something we really have to take a look at, because we're making it less inconvenient for them.
Yeah.
And it just shouldn't be that way.
Especially for our seniors, of which I'm one of them. You know, they're the people we've worked all our lives and contributed and paid taxes. And it seems as if, you know, sometimes my perfect example is the Dunham Mall. It's when I walk into Dunham Mall, I have a cane, and I walk it about a half a step because it goes like this, you know.
Yep.
But that brick stuff may work well in California, but it doesn't work well where there's frost.
No, not at all. So, it heaves and buckles and, you know.
I would just, if you should get elected, please know that someday I'll be at open mic. And just say, I just want the new council to think about, we keep hearing it and hearing it. What are you going to do about it? Let's not wait till it's a crisis like the housing issue.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. But like I said, we got to think outside of the box in different areas, all areas. And like you're saying now, the aging population in Pittsfield and in Berkshire County.
Yeah. And you know, we're all getting older. Tony, in the ward, you've been a ward counselor for a long time in the past. How much time do you think you devote to being a ward counselor?
Oh, I used to be on call all the time for my constituents.
Yeah.
My phone would ring all the time. I probably devoted... I used to go to City Hall every day, check on the mail, get answers for constituents that had called me. So I would say I would devote a good 5 hours a day myself.
Yep.
To just city council work.
Yeah, and I want people to hear that, because
and that's as well. It's 40 hours a week, and
yeah.
we don't do it for the money. I can tell you that. I do it because
you're about
I
the
love
fifth
my,
person who told me.
I do it because I love my community,
yeah.
And I like to be part of things and moving Pittsfield forward. I see it, like I said, see it becoming stagnant again, and I don't want to see that happen. The Pittsfield that we work so hard.
And as you said, you made the arts community, the cultural community, during that era. And that can be expanded, in my opinion, it can be expanded to bring in more that cultural, you know, you and I can remember when it was only summer stock. Remember,
right.
It ended at Labor Day or Columbus Day. Well, now it's almost year round. How can we expand that? And I mean, that's one of the things that you'll have to do. Going back, how do you feel the trash collection situation has worked out?
Well, you know, I really don't know about how much trash they found in the parks or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
The new trash system, I guess it's efficient. I mean, it's not saving a boatload of money. What is it? Like $500,000 or something is saving that we transferred over to all this. Personally, myself, I don't mind it. I only do one garbage bag a week for a family of three. But I do fill up two recyclables. So... I liked the old system myself,
mm-hmm.
but it was getting costly.
Oh,
yeah. It was getting too costly. And, you know, I drive around town now and I'm seeing junk out in front of people's houses. I see it driving down. What's that street over there? I can't think of it off. I've seen it on Elizabeth. I've seen it on Seymour Street up here. I just,
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't know if we've made things worse or better.
Well, that's again, there's been no one done. I know we're saving money. We may not be saving tons of money, but we're saving money because it was getting hugely costly to do it. Now, I speak to it. I personally, there's just two of us, but we don't have a problem with the toters. We brought them out today. They emptied them. We brought them back. And I know what you're saying. I drive around the city and I see all kinds of stuff, from sofas to, you know, mattresses.
All the bulky waste is out.
Yeah, and that's probably something that that needs to be addressed, and I think it will. You know, you were on the council a while. What did you find, you, Tony, what did you find the most challenging part of being on the council?
The most challenging part is when budget time comes, finding cost savings. Because they've bare-boned just about everything, and we preserve essential services. At least we did when I was there, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing now. And I would say budgeting. That was the finding savings to keep the tax rate low. That was the most challenging thing that I found.
Okay. Okay.
That was frustrating to me, that we couldn't find different avenues and ways to reduce it more.
Yeah, but the way I look at it too, we want the services.
Correct.
The services cost money. You know, when you're my age and my health, I like to know if I go down, I'll have a fire truck here in no more than 6 minutes.
Correct.
That makes me feel pretty darn good. And
yep.
I don't mind paying for that.
Right. And I don't think a lot of people do.
No. No.
I know myself. I don't. I'm comfortable here, and I think it's been fair over the years. There
yeah.
were some years that were too high, but that was the cost of things back then, and it just keeps on going up more and more each year.
And what did you find the most rewarding part of your job?
The most rewarding part was helping my constituents in Ward 7.
Okay.
Taking their calls, getting their problems taken care of, getting their voices heard up at City Hall. Serving my constituents was my most rewarding thing.
Cool. Yeah, and being a liaison for people who would call and they've got this problem and they don't know who to call at City Hall. So being a resource is always is you look at the next 2 years, if you're elected, what is it that you want to accomplish?
What do I want to accomplish? I want to accomplish what the people want me to do. You know, I want to be there for my community again, and I want to work for that better Pittsfield and to start thinking outside the box with a group of people of try to, how can we improve things? Because I have a youngster still in school and he's in middle school, and I want him to stay here when he gets older. My oldest son stayed here, and I want my youngest son to stay here. You know, it's just, we got to keep the area attractive for everybody.
What types of things do we need to either beef up or go after, in your opinion? Like, we went after cultural during the Roberto administration and all that. And that worked out splendidly. Now, should we continue that and branch out into other things? I mean, we have a beautiful area to live in.
We do. We got a lovely community here. And the Berkshires is one of the greatest places to be. I have no one thing.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's fair. I mean, when you get back in, if you should get reelected and back in the saddle, You're probably going to see initiatives that we don't know about, or they're not getting covered in the press or whatever, that the city is trying to do. And you know, the problem on North Street, it certainly is a problem, but it's not a quick fix. There isn't a magic bullet or a magic wand to, you know, correct that problem.
Right.
And now it's in the hands of the health department.
Correct. And, you know, and to get back to just some issue in Ward 7, I like to see Pontusic Lake Park continue moving forward and Wacona Park. Yeah. I understand that in the fall of next year or the spring, they're supposed to take down the grandstands or something.
That's what I'm hearing. I can't.
The mayor had mentioned it this morning on one of the radio stations he was on.
Okay.
He was on Mark 95.9 station this morning.
Okay.
And he had mentioned, I believe it was next fall or next year sometime, that the grandstands would be demolished.
Wow. Well, again, if that's it, I thought I don't want to get into it, but I thought that
I know the future of Wacona Park.
Yeah, I thought that was the historical thing, was the grandstands, but maybe not.
Right. I don't.
You're old enough to remember, and that's a compliment. You're old enough to remember Vinnie Hebert, when he was Parks Commissioner, wanted to move Wacona Park up behind North Junior High. Build a beautiful ball field up there with bleachers and everything. But if I remember, and that's questionable today, I don't remember where I parked the car, but the deal was we couldn't move it because it was a historical thing. But that's
right,
a lot
right.
of smart people looking at that. My friend Earl Persip, he's after it too. So,
Earl's been a big voice for Wacona Park.
Yes, he has.
Since I left and continuing on. Earl's a good man.
Yes, he is. But don't tell him I said so. It's a secret. Tony, I'm going to give you 3 to 4 minutes to tell the people in the ward why they should vote for Tony.
All right. Bill, first, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity and time
thank
to come on and
in.
Let people hear us and share our ideas. I just want to say to the residents of Ward 7 that I've missed serving my community. I've missed serving the constituents of Ward 7. If I'm reelected again, I will give my utmost to the job itself and to you. And like I have in the past, my health as well. I want to get that out there. Everybody keeps asking me about my health.
Yeah.
There's no issues with my health.
Excellent.
I'm not in that downslide. I've been stable for 2.5 years. Everything's looking up for me. I have a part-time job I do just to get out of the house, and hopefully I'll be able to start working for the people of Ward 7 again and seeing some projects move forward.
Well, Tony, I applaud that you're coming back into the fray. And I have to say this, I've said it just about every interview, that if you don't vote, then don't gripe, because this is your way of expressing your belief, who you think is the strongest candidate, whatever, the person that's going to carry the load for you and me, because this is the people who set the tax rate and the school committee it's truly a local election. And
Bill, I just want to add that I do have the 10 years experience behind my belt.
Yeah.
That I will be bringing back with me if elected.
That's an important point. Folks are only going to get one opportunity for this election. Don't miss out on it. And voting to me is a sacred right. I say this, I know people don't like it, but when you drive through the cemetery, all those flags you see, under those flags is a person who at one point in their life signed on their dotted line to perhaps give their life so that you could vote. So don't tell me you don't have time. It doesn't take that long to vote. Tony, good luck. Thank you again for running.
Thank you, Bill.
And listen, if you win, I'll have you on the show more often.
Thank you, Bill. Much appreciated. Have a good evening.
You too. Thank you. And folks, remember, please vote. Please. If you don't vote, don't gripe. Take care. Take care, Tony.
You too.